Hey everybody, I'm Allene Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to talk to you today about having confidence in your close connections so that you can stay true to your God-given calling. Now, inside of my office, I have this pillow on one of my couches, and it says, "Don't ever let anybody steal your sparkle." And haven't you ever found in your life that when you are following after your God-given purpose, when you are allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, that you start to shine? And sometimes that shining, well, it can become threatening to people. And oftentimes we see that the way that people react to that sparkle is that they try to dull it. They try to pull us down to prop themselves up, or they just become threatened by the fact that you're walking differently and you're living differently. And isn't it interesting how people react when we allow our light to shine? Well, as we open up our nourished scripture this week, which is Joshua chapter 9, we see that the Israelites are causing quite a ruckus because God has been with them and he's been displaying his greatness through them. And they've been able to defeat and to conquer cities and to settle the promised land. And so the Bible tells us that there were a group of kings that got together and they heard about what happened to the Israelites. And so they determined to combine their efforts and fight against Joshua and the Israelites. And that's what will happen sometimes when you are walking inside of your God-given purpose and God is using you and his greatness is showing, not because you're all that in a bag of chips, but because you're letting God's light shine, well, that can threaten people. And that one of the ways that they can actually react is very negatively to you and to fight against you. Now, another way that people can react to that is by being a little bit more deceptive. And that's exactly what the Gibeonites decided to do. It says this in verse 3, "But when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to deception to save themselves." Now, we know that they were looking out to protect themselves. And in and of itself, that's really not a bad desire, right? I mean, they were trying to survive. And really, the kings that banded together to fight against Joshua, that they were doing that to survive. And oftentimes, people will come against us, and they may not be exactly healthy for us, not because in and of themselves they're bad people, but in their self-protective measures, they might prevent us from walking inside our God-given calling. You see, our relationships matter. And oftentimes the scarcity mentality, well, that will just make you scared. And inside of this passage, we see that this group of kings and that the Gibeonites, they were both threatened by the Israelites' victory. And so because of that, one of the groups decided to fight against them, but the Gibeonites decided to use deception. And they wanted to use deception because they wanted to manipulate the Israelites into a covenant type relationship. Now, God had already cautioned the Israelites about covenant. He told them that relationships with foreigners inside of this situation that he told them to be cautious about. And the reality is that God tells us to be cautious too. Now, love is for everybody. Love is for everybody. And ministry is to those who God calls us to be a ministry too. But our close connections, Our covenant type relationships are for a few. Now, the reason why this teaching is so important to me is because I know from personal experience that having close connections that are unhealthy can really create a negative impact on your life. In fact, one of the greatest mistakes that I ever made was getting involved in an unhealthy friendship. And I had heard for years and really made it a part of my Christian, you know, walk when I was in college, you know, to really be on my guard with boys that I was dating and to just have boundaries for that. But I never really thought about female friendships that much. And the truth is that I think sometimes, even inside of church, that we can be very cautious about telling people no, or we feel very guilty for setting boundaries because we make the assumption that as Christ followers, love means that we have no limits, that we have no boundaries, and that we're just close to everybody. But nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the Bible tells us very specifically over and over again to be on guard with our close connections. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Bad company corrupts good character." Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves." And Proverbs 13:20 says this, "Walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get into trouble." And those are just a few of the scriptures that I brought up to say, but we are to guard our hearts, and we're to guard our hearts to give ourselves fully to our purpose. You see, your free will is something that God gave to you so that you could give it back to Him. But if we get involved in an unhealthy relationship, there can be control issues going on, and all of a sudden, God is not God anymore. We put a person inside of His place. Now, I don't care who you are, how wise you think you are, how long that you've lived. The reality is that unhealthy relationships are sometimes not easy to detect because they can be very deceptive. And we see that, don't we, inside of this story. When the Gibeonites came to Joshua, the Bible says that they resorted to deception to save themselves. They sent ambassadors to Joshua, loading their donkeys with weathered saddlebags, old and patched wineskins. They put on worn-out patched sandals and ragged clothes, and the bread they took with them was dry and moldy. And when they arrived at the camp of Israel at Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant land to ask you to make a peace treaty with us." And so they were resorting to this deception. They were pretending like they had come from a long distance, and they were disguising themselves. And the reason why they disguised them is because God told them that with the other people that were inside the promised land, to that they were to take their land and to not have those close associations with them. And so they disguised themselves. And that is deceptive, isn't it? And here they are disguising themselves. And then not only that, but they offer to be servants. It says in verse 8, they offer to serve the Israelites. And so they put on this deception. They offer to serve them. And then Joshua ends up making a peace treaty. In other words, he enters into a covenant-type relationship with people he wasn't supposed to be in a relationship with. And so, if you're listening to this podcast, maybe you're in an unhealthy relationship right now and you're wondering, how did this happen? Or maybe you're not. But what we're going to learn today by looking inside of this passage we're going to unpack some things that will hopefully give you some wisdom and just some discernment that you can use about who you walk closely with. Because the Bible couldn't be clearer that you and I need to watch our close associations so that we can walk in the fullness of our calling. So what are some of the things that we see right off the bat? Well, the first thing that I want to point out is that they desired immediate intimacy, that the Gibeonites came to Joshua and they immediately wanted that covenant type relationship. And if somebody is desiring that immediate intimacy with you, that should send you a caution. And people can do that all sorts of ways. They can immediately divulge intimate details about their life, or they can start to just really want to like have some sort of control over you or that kind of thing, whether it's we need to sit together every Sunday at church or blah, 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 blah. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying it's bad every time if somebody opens up and shares an intimate detail of their life with you, but I am saying that if you get the feeling that somebody is rushing a close connection with you, I'm not saying you should never be friends with them, but I am saying it's probably wise to just pause and pull back and ask the Lord. And the next thing that we see here inside of this passage is that it was deceptive. That the outside of what they portrayed as Gibeonites did not reflect their true identity. And oftentimes, you and I can assume if somebody has a title inside of church, or if they know 50 Bible verses off the top of their head, or we just see them on the outside, they just seem so perfect. Well, oftentimes, like when Jesus talked to about the Pharisees, he talked about the fact that they were really particular about their exterior personality, but not so much the inside. And the Bible talks about these sheeps and these prophets, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. And I think sometimes that we automatically assume if somebody has a church title or if somebody, just looks and plays the part on the outside, that we should automatically trust them. And that could be the case, but it may not be. And you see, the Israelites, they examined the outside, but the Bible tells us that they did not inquire of the Lord. And if they had just paused and pulled back and prayed, God could have revealed to them the situation that was at hand. Often, unhealthy friendships will be attracted to people with power for self-interest, because they might even see you as the solution to their hurt. In other words, their friendship with you is very agenda-driven and not agape-driven. In other words, they weren't interested in really helping the Israelites. They were interested in helping themselves. And that's not a bad thing, again, but it's just not a healthy thing. Even if people are looking to us for us to rescue them, there needs to be some boundaries set into place, because the reality is that Jesus Christ is the only rescuer, and we're not. And there can be an unhealthy enmeshment that happens inside of a relationship that makes it unhealthy when somebody is looking to you for only what God can bring. The next thing that we see is that the Gibeonites offered help as a hook. They offered help as a hook. And oftentimes in abusive relationships, a woman will perceive, maybe a man, let's say, who is very strong and very just overly confident, narcissistic, they will see that person as protection. And then as soon as they get in a relationship with them, they see that all that strength is not really being used to protect them, but to control them. Many times, studies show that's how an abusive relationship starts, that a woman trades her freedom for protection. Don't be deceived. And I wonder if the Israelites, after being in the wilderness for so many years and prior to, generations prior to that, they were in slavery in Egypt and they had been battling in the promised land and they had been worn out and weary doing God's work. And then all of a sudden someone comes to offer to help. And because of that help, it became a hook that caused them to quickly get into a covenant type relationship with somebody that God did not want them to be in that type of relationship with them. Now, we can tell inside of this passage, because Joshua continues to ask the Gibeonites, how do we know where you're really from? I think that Joshua had the caution light running from God. You know, I mean, have you ever been in a relationship and you just hear this caution, caution, caution from God? And so I think that he had this caution inside of his heart. But the Bible says that he didn't listen to that caution and he didn't inquire of the Lord. And because of that, he entered into a covenant that had lasting consequences. Now, another characteristic of an unhealthy relationship is with that deception is that it's often covert. It's under disguise. And oftentimes this can be worse because it's very hard to distinguish that. Like somebody that is overly nice on the outside, or the Bible talks a lot about using flattery. It says this in Jude 12. When these people eat with you in your fellowship meals, commemorating the Lord's love, they are like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They are shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves and they flatter others to get what they want. Flattery. Looking nice. But a hidden agenda. They are agenda driven, not agape driven. And the other thing is that they'll often distort the truth to gain a following. Inside of the book of Acts, when Paul is saying goodbye to the church of Ephesus and he is with them and it's a very sweet goodbye. You should read the whole chapter, but one of the things that he says to them, it's in Acts 20, starting verse 28. So guard yourselves and God's people, feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out and remember the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. Did you hear that? That Paul was saying that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, and even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Now, these people were elders that he was talking to, and so he was saying that the people that had the titles inside of the church, they were going to be the ones to watch out for. And the lesson that we can learn from that is, just because somebody has a title doesn't mean that you give them your automatic trust. And then it says that they distorted the truth to gain a following. And oftentimes, that is what an unhealthy person is looking for. They want people to worship them, not the Lord. whether it's a narcissist behavior or whatever it is. And so be careful. Don't follow someone that's distorting the truth of the word of God, right? Or using distortion like we see inside of this passage. And also, not only did they have a title, but if these people were drawing a following, that meant that they were popular. And so the other thing is this, just because somebody is popular and everybody else is following them doesn't mean that you have to, right? And so it says that Joshua, 3 days after he got into the relationship, found out the mistake that he had made. And there were consequences that would happen to the Israelites that would affect them for generations to come. Now, God gave them grace, as he always does when we realize what we've done is wrong and we turn to him. And I want to encourage you in that, that God can be so great, you know, just full of grace. But what God wants us to do, what he really wanted Joshua to do, is to inquire of him about his relationships. And if unhealthy relationships can be so deceptive sometimes and not easy to detect, then how do we do that? Like, how do we avoid walking into the trap? I mean, I thought that this was such a good thing. I thought this person was helping me inside of my ministry. They had leadership positions inside of the church. I thought this was so good on the outside. But what happened was I ignored those caution and red flag feelings I got in my gut from the Holy Spirit. You see, the way to be wise about those with whom you walk with is by walking closest to the Holy Spirit. The way to be wise about those with whom you walk with is by walking closest to the Holy Spirit. And here's why that's true. Number one, when you walk closest to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can give you discernment with what's on the inside. In other words, you and I can't judge the heart, but God knows what's inside of everybody's heart. And you know how we talked about that the outside can look really good, but maybe the inside is not right? Well, God knows the inside. You and I are not called to judge. We don't have the ability to judge what's inside people's hearts. But listen to what John 2, 24 and 25 says. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew about all people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. God knows the heart. And have you ever been around a person and maybe they're so nice and they're helping you and all these sorts of things, but you just don't have a peace? Child of God, pay attention to that peace. That is a caution from the Holy Spirit. And you know what? It's okay to pause. If somebody really wants to be your friend or they really want to date you and you just have a caution, that's the time to just press pause and pull back and pray. Now, you don't need to make a big announcement about it, but pay attention to when your good shepherd is calling you to pull back to him. It's okay to pause. It doesn't mean the person is bad. It doesn't mean that you won't ever be friends with them. It means that God is saying, maybe not now. And maybe God has to change something about you first. Maybe God has to change something about that person. And it could potentially be that the two of you together would not make a good match. Because maybe you struggle with codependency. And if you struggle with codependency, and I'm a recovering codependent, you see your role and you gain your worth and value out of helping people. And people that enter into codependent relationships, well, they continue to lean on that person, right? And the truth of the matter is that God should be God in their life, right? And so God may know that maybe that person can be friends with another person, but not you right now. because it's, you might try to slip into the rescue role, right? And so when God gives us that discernment, we don't need to throw judgment on back on that person or make a big announcement to them. It's just a call to pause. And if you're listening to this, I know you know what I'm talking about. I mean, sometimes God will give me a red light, like stop, no, I don't want you to get close to that person. And then other times it's a caution. And then sometimes it's a green light that this is a close connection, a close friendship that he wants me to have. And here's the other thing, is that the Holy Spirit will not only give you discernment, but when you walk closest with the Holy Spirit, only God is God. In other words, you won't put a person in that place. You see, the only person we can fully automatically trust is Jesus. Trust is a gift we give to others over time as they earn it. Love is unconditional, but trust is not. And just because somebody has a title or there a lot of people are following them does not mean that you give up your free will to give to them. And if you're a people pleaser, you're very vulnerable in that situation to have somebody with a controlling personality to have control over you. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:5-7. It says, they'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. These are the kind of people who smooth talk themselves into the homes of unstable and needy women and take advantage of them, who, depressed by their sinfulness, take up with every new religious fad that calls itself truth. They get exploited every time and never really learn. In other words, a wolf is going to go after a weak sheep. And if you are not confident in God's leadership in your life, like if you have a decision that you need to make, where's the first place that you go? Do you go to the phone to call your friend, or do you go to the throne of grace and ask for wisdom? Do you see what I'm saying? And so we need to, when we have confidence in the Lord, we will be a woman of decision, not weak-willed, not weak-willed. And Jesus will give us wisdom. He will give us wisdom about that person or about just life in general. And because of that, people can be here for us, not that we need them, but to love them. Not to put a person inside of God's place. I love what one of my friends said. She said, you know, the five people closest to you are going to have the greatest impact on your life. And then she said, I always make sure that God is one of those five. And I will just bring that one step further to say he needs to be at the top of that list. And when God is God in your life, then that frees your heart to really love people as God intended. And the next thing is this. So the first thing was that we will have discernment from the Holy Spirit. We will know that God is our one true God, and we will give our free will to him. And the next thing is that when we have that personal relationship with God, love becomes redefined to the truth of what it should be. Now, what I mean by that is that, you know, TV defines love. I mean, we've got all these random definitions of love out there, right? But God calls us to agape love. And agape love is completely different from the love the world offers. In fact, it's nothing that you can manufacture. It only comes by sitting in God's presence. But if the Bible tells us that God is love, then we can look to him to help us define what love really is. And the whole topic of what is agape love. Now, that could be an entire podcast in and of itself, and I will definitely do that one day. But I'm not going to go into every facet, but what I want you to see is that God tells me no. He sure does. And so if God tells me no, then saying no to people, giving limits to people, is not unloving. And somehow, inside of church, good, solid teaching from churches, sometimes women that are people pleasers, like I was, codependent, like I was, we receive that as I'm not being loving if I set limits with people. And nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. Other things about agape love is that agape love never involves control. Never. You will not read a story in the gospel. Jesus invited people to come into relationship with them. He put it all out on the table, and he invited them, but he never forced anybody to do anything. And as you walk closely, more closer with the Lord, the Bible says that God is love, and you'll redefine what love really means. Because love doesn't mean rescuing people all the time and being people's safety, right? And peace. We want the Lord to be people's safety and peace. And that's when relationships can become unhealthy. And so that's ways that you can be wise about relationships, or to walk closest with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you three takeaway points from this that you can practically put inside of your life. But what I also want to say before I get into that, because you could listen to this podcast, or after you've walked through a very unpleasant relationship decision, and just decide, no, thank you, I don't need people. I'll just stay in my house. I am not going to get close to anybody. I will be in a room of lots of people. I'll still go to church, but I'm not going to connect. And that's not the answer either. You see, healthy biblical friendships are essential, because our faith in God grows when we gather with God-ordained friendships. Now, there's a lot of elements to healthy biblical friendships, but one that I want to point out to you, or just a few things, are interdependence. And interdependence means I do not lose my identity inside of community. It also means encouragement, love, giving people the freedom to make their own choices, praying for people, not looking to people to validate you. And it also means sharing truth. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, good friendships will speak the truth and love to you. Not to condemn you, but to call you higher and to point out things you may not see. And healthy biblical friendships, they also mean that we don't just stick around the same people. It means that we're intentional about putting ourselves around people that are different from us. When you look inside of the Gospels, you see that Jesus was intentional about putting himself around people that were different from him. We see that Jesus, when he pulled the disciples together, the disciples were very different. One was a political activist, the other was a tax collector, one was a fisherman. I mean, they were just all different people, right? And he pulled them together. And so those are all things of healthy biblical friendships. But things like manipulation and control and deception, distortion of the truth, flattery, agenda-driven versus agape-driven, that is not a healthy biblical friendship. And you need to be wise. I'm not saying you shouldn't love that person. I'm not saying you shouldn't be in ministry with that person. But I'm saying that only God can be God in your life, and that your close connections are meant to for a few. You see, wise women will guard their close relationships to give themselves fully to their purpose. Your free will is a precious treasure to guard, so you can give it fully to God. And if the answer, because Proverbs 13:20 says this, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools, but to get into trouble. If we are to be wise about who we walk with by walking closest with the Holy Spirit, how can we practically put that into place? Number one, and I want you to pick one of these three things to do. These are your three takeaways, if you so choose, if you want something practical to do. Number one is to read Proverbs for relationship wisdom. Read the book of Proverbs for relationship wisdom. Now, the great thing about the book of Proverbs is it's written by King Solomon, and he was the bee's knees with wisdom, right? And he also, we know that he had quite a few relationships, let's just say. So he's had lots of experience, is what I'm saying. And he's got all this wisdom that he's sharing, and he's sharing this book of Proverbs, right? And so so inside of Proverbs, there's a lot about relationship. And it's a great place to start. And the neat thing about Proverbs is that you can divide it up to read a chapter a day, and it'll take you about a month. And so Proverbs is a great book, and you can just start now and just read one chapter every day and specifically look for things about relationship and ask God to teach you through His Word to get wisdom. The second thing is this. It is to own your part by doing the work to change what you can change and let go of what you cannot change. And what I mean by that is this, is that often sometimes the wounds in our life are like they leave these gaping voids, right? We lose something. And when we have that void in our life, it's like it creates a vacuum and it creates a pull. And a lot of times we look to people to fill that within us. And so because the void creates a vacuum, we can become susceptible to bad relationships. And if you think back to the wounds in your life, if you've had a relationship with your mother, maybe your mother was not able to be there for you emotionally and it left a void. And the void created a vacuum, and subconsciously, you've been looking for a mother. And a lot of times, God will put you with some healthy mentor, friends inside of your church that can lead you, and that's a good thing, but the enemy of your soul knows that vacuum too. And you might say yes to a friendship that was never meant to be. And maybe if you've already had that filled in your life, that you wouldn't be susceptible to that. Just like women that maybe didn't have a good relationship with their father are susceptible to putting themselves inside of unhealthy romantic relationships. We talked about that earlier. And the key is, I was talking with one of the women in my Nourish Together group, and she pointed this out, and it was really good, and I needed to hear it for just some other things that God is leading me through in my life. But she made the point that, you know, when we get hurt in life and it creates that wound is not your fault. But a lot of times we'll create these survival mechanisms to deal with the wound, to medicate the wound, to soothe the wound, whatever it is. And the mechanisms that we create cause us to sin. And that, you know, it's sort of like if somebody is unloving to me, that's their responsibility. But how I respond to them is my responsibility. And if I hold unforgiveness, then I'm in sin, right? And so the way to fix that, though, is not by trying to handle the symptoms that you see. It's by going to the root and getting that wound healed. And when you heal the wound, that is what will stop whatever mechanisms you're using that are getting you involved in unhealthy friendships or relationships. For me, that mechanism was people pleasing. And I knew I was a people pleaser, but I didn't know really how unhealthy that was and how it would get me trapped inside of not healthy situations until I walked through something very devastating. And the same is true for us. And for a long time, you know, I was reading books about people pleasing. I was saying, I'm not going to do this anymore or whatever. And I'm just going to say no to everybody. And none of that was the answer. The answer is going back to the wound and asking the great physician to heal it. It was only God's acceptance of me that could truly heal my heart so that I could be free to really love. And that's not a fun thing to do. It's not a fun thing to go back and open up old wounds. But when we do that with the Lord with us, and how do you do that? You do that by coming to the God and just saying, I see this repeated pattern in my life and relationships. And I'm ready to go on that journey of healing. Lord, here I am. Take me. And then the Lord will take you on a process. For me, it was a 2-year process. So, and sometimes when God brings healing, it happens immediately. Other times, it's a week, it's a month, 6 months, 2 years. But here's a beautiful thing about that. During that 2 years time, my relationship with God grew to great depths. And that's what sanctification is. It's this beautiful journey, this lifelong journey that you and I take with our Lord one step at a time. And there's something just beautiful and precious about crawling up in the Abba Father and saying, I see this repeated pattern. I don't know why it's happening, but I know there's a wound, and will you show me what the wound is? And then will you walk me through the healing process? All right, so that was number 2. And number 3 is learn how to discern God's voice. Now, inside of the 21-day challenge, there's like a grid of about 5 things that I always ask myself, you know, is this from the Lord? How do I discern a decision? That kind of thing. And one of the things that I did inside of the 21-day challenge is I made one of the lessons all about that. And if you go to www.nourishbiblestudymethod.com and you click on the 21-day challenge, 21-day challenge is a free resource. You don't have to pay for it. But lesson 3 is about discerning God's voice. And see, when you have that confidence, you can live an authentic, faith-filled life that is not dependent upon the approval of others or proving yourself around others. And you will not be, like in that Timothy passage, it talked about weak-willed women. You will be a woman of decision because you know God's voice. And so that's very important for you to know. And inside of lesson 3 on the 21-day challenge, I'm going to tell you exactly how I do this in my own life so that you can be a woman of decision and carry quiet strength with you. You know, confidence is often quiet, whereas insecurity kind of screams loud, doesn't it? And when you become a woman of decision, you'll be able to discern healthy relationships. And as you learn how to discern God's voice and you follow it, you're just going to have confidence in the good shepherd's leading in your life. And you will be able to guard your heart so you can give yourself fully to God's purpose. And not only that, but you'll be able to really love people. Because the truth of the matter is, We know, because of Rahab's story, that all they had to do was to turn to God. And Rahab turned to the Lord. And the Bible says that she lived with the Israelites and became a part of the family. Okay? And so the Gibeonites could have done the same thing. And I just wonder if Joshua would have inquired of the Lord and set the boundary, if they would have in desperation cried out, tell us about your God, because we're really afraid, and come into a relationship with him. You see, sometimes no is the most loving thing that we can do. Wise women will guard their close relationships to give themselves fully to their purpose. Your free will is a precious treasure to guard so that you can give it fully to God. And although unhealthy relationships are sometimes not always easy to detect because they can be very deceptive, you can be wise about those with whom you walk with by walking closest to the Holy Spirit. And you can pray for God to give you healthy biblical friendships, because they are essential in your life. You see, our faith in God grows when we gather with our God-ordained friendships. And that is your weekly word. Thanks so much for joining us in on our podcast. And I look forward to hanging out with you next time. By the way, if you've enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love for you to go to iTunes and give us a rating or share our podcast with a friend. It's important when people go to iTunes to sort of get a picture of what they're getting into. And so we wanted to invite our listeners to do that. That would mean a lot to us. Thanks so much for listening in, and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.